Yeah, gotta aim for the top like, hello. Yeah, I can never doubt myself, I know better. All of you critics be acting like you know better. Blowing the smoke, but I know when the dust settles. That I'm in my element, it's evident that there's levels to the game. All of those dark nights I got then, breaking my back to make it out, got me feeling like rain. I ain't never need your help, I know you wishing me well. A penny for your thoughts, but seeing no change. I snap for the sun like Diddy, the riches got a mad ass son, I'm like Billy. I ain't never switch up, whole team with me. Putting on for my city like all ages. Pace as long as you finish. Consumers find a way inside your business. Babble if they try to dabble in it, and they hate the fact that they may have to win it. You gotta aim for the top like this, and you're an element with a fire like this. And it's helping you fall in the brain you miss, but it's all in the risk. I got you with the switch, you know.
I'm in the zone. Give me the throne. One shot, that's all that you got. That's all that I know. Foot on the gas. 155 on the road. You could be a friend of me, an enemy. Keep that same old energy.
Word is Spike Lee, and God came in a nick of time. They think I'm crazy, but I might be. It's running, running, running. We beating the odds just to sum it up. You know it's a rap, never waste lines, and I'm cutting the weight like a tummy tuck. That mean I'm about to give it out right now. You see what's coming down the line, I never pipe down. I give 100% of me trying to stun on my enemies, and my element is crazy as the mic sound.
I'm in the zone. Give me the throne. One shot, that's all that you got. That's all that I know.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 37 of the Good People, Bad Intentions podcast. My name is Matthew Pine. I hope you enjoyed that little highlight reel that I made of the event. This episode is all about Against the Ropes, a fight card that happened last Saturday, November 5th at the Lighthouse Art Center and was promoted by Real Deal Promotions, aka Kyle the Real Deal McNeil. And I wanted to first say what was crazy about this event, and something that I had experienced the first event that we went to, is how many people from the local boxing scene was there. I mean, I saw and got to meet Castillo Clayton, I saw Kirk Johnson there, I saw Tyson Cave there, I got to speak with Ryan Rosicky, and it was clear that everybody interested in boxing, at least at this time, was there. I know also that there was a card at Citadel Boxing that was taking a lot of the amateurs. And this was an amazing event. Unfortunately, because of the nature of trying to secure some interviews, I was unfortunately missing a few of the fights. I missed the John Johnson versus Brent Coxworthy fight. Although it didn't last long. I think in the second round there was a win by TKO. And then I had also missed most of the Brie Howling versus Mathilde Barrier fight. This was a fight that just kind of came out of nowhere, so that originally wasn't scheduled to be on this card, and I'm so glad that it had, because Brie is one of the big prospects as far as professional female boxer in Canada. She was supposed to have a fight against Sky Nicholson for her debut, and then she also trains with Alicia Bombardier, so it's very evident that she has been in some of the most elite camps as far as female boxing, and it showed in her skills. I was able to see briefly a lot of good technique that was on her end. So what I have in store for you guys is three post-fight interviews, and I also have an interview with Kyle Just kind of reflecting on the whole event. Of course, he's the promoter, but he also had a fight in this card. So just reflecting on the whole event. And I also want to include maybe towards the end, because I know this is not interesting to a lot of people, but I am a student. I am taking radio, television, journalism. I am trying to improve my production quality, how I am as an interviewer, etc. So one thing that I had done in anticipation for this event is I had got myself a camera. I got myself a handheld microphone, because the first event that I covered, Fists of Fury at the Forum, which was also by Real Deal Promotions, I wasn't really happy with how the audio quality was. I had to include subtitles because it was really hard to hear. So I hope you guys can see, you know, some of the improvements that this episode will have as opposed to the previous one. And the first interview I have is with Matt McIntyre, and he beat Johnny Mack by third round TKO. Johnny Mack was making his pro debut, and I know that it had taken a while for him to get here because there was some press done a few years ago on him in making his debut, and the fact that he is an openly gay male boxer, and he has talked to about his story, and I really would love to have him on and talk about everything involving that. Of course, that was a subject that was brought up in this interview because there had been some animosity between both him and Matt in coming into this fight, and it was very clear early on in the fight that both people wanted to try to end it early. Matt was put on the ground, put on the canvas, I believe in the first or second round, and then he was able to recover and, of course, get the TKO win. So without further ado, here's Matt.
And I'm here with the successful Matt McIntyre. Congratulations on another victory. How does it feel?
Feels great. You know, I got a little angry at the first, so I kind of got a little sloppy. And also, he caught me when I was off balance. So I took a knee, basically. It wasn't from the hit. It was just from being off balance. So there was a lot of stupid choices I made, but I pulled it off in the end, so that's all that matters.
Now, me and Kyle had talked about this fight in anticipation for it, and we were curious, was there a little bit of animosity between you and your opponent leading into this, or was that just your strategy to try to start off fast?
No, it's a long story, but he was homeless at one point. I was a building manager of in a building in downtown Dartmouth. I was asked through my boxing coach at the time, Tyson Cave, to bring him in. I did. He kind of said, don't worry, child, not to like charge him anything until he has the money. I said, okay, no problem. And then help him train to be a pro boxer. This would have been his debut at the time. But what happened is he took all his sponsor money and dipped out on the fight and didn't pay me for the time he was spending in the building. Tyson called him up, flipping out, called him a certain word that you use derogatory against gay people because he was a gay boxer. I was on the same phone call, like a three-way conversation. He heard Tyson saying it and thought it was me. For me, I don't care what you identify as or if you're gay or straight. I don't really care because the best wingman I ever had in my life was gay. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know what I mean? Tweets their own, you know what I mean? Yep. But anyway, he thought it was me flipping out, or he used that as an excuse and ripped this up as something that I'm this hate guy. But, you know what I mean? If you sign that contract, I don't give a damn. You know what I mean?
And I just wanted to ask, because the first part of the fight, I think it was in the second round, he did score a knockdown.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask you, did that knockdown hurt you, or was it like a flash knockdown?
No, not at all. What happened was I was being sloppy, I was off balance, and he got me. So I fell backwards off balance. Didn't hurt me. I feel great.
Yes.
Okay. You know what I mean? But you know, it is what it is. That's the name of the game. You know, I don't take it away from him. He got his little knockdown, whatever. But it was purely for me being off balance. But
can you talk about any effect that the crowd had? Like, you know, everybody was in hysterics because it was kind of like a war for a while. You guys were both having at it real early on. Like, can you talk about the effect that the crowd might have had on your fight?
I got amped up. Lesson learned. I gotta be cool and calm and collected when I go in there. Be strategic. You know what I mean? Be precise, tactical. And I don't want to be a brawler. I want to be a boxer. But I didn't show that tonight, but I still got my win, and it's a TKO, I think?
Yes, it is.
So, hey, you know.
Well, congratulations, Matt. That was a very entertaining fight, and I'm really glad that you're able to get the victory.
And
best of luck for the rest of your night.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And that was Matt McIntyre, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed that interview. I know that there was some specifics that were brought up in that interview that I really can't comment on because I don't know the full situation. But it was clear that there was some animosity in this fight, so I'm glad that there was a little bit of a clarification there. For anybody wonder what was going on, because it was a very entertaining fight, and I guess there was some stakes there as well. And the thing I want to bring up is, I've trained with Matt once at the Spryfield Boxing Gym when Tyson Cave was running that. He's a very friendly guy, good guy to talk with. I'm really happy that he got the win. He deserves it. And now he's training at the Hustle Believe Achieve gym with Brett Beaton. And there actually had been quite a few people on this card associated with HBA. So I've been really happy to hear about the growth of that gym and everybody coming out of there. I was walking around that night last Saturday seeing a bunch of HBA merch. Their merch game is on point. So congratulations there, Brett, for getting the message across. And of course, anybody interested in the whole story with Brett and HBA, I strongly recommend you check out our episode on the podcast. And so what greater of a segue than our next interview, which is with Brett Beaton. He had fought against Israel Ramirez Carmona, and he won by first round TKO. And the story around Brett is his last fight, his debut, didn't go his way. It was ended really quickly, and we talked about that on the podcast. And you know, he's a decorated amateur. He has a lot of great skills in boxing, and that fight really didn't show the Brett Beaton that was on tonight. And I knew that he had it there, and I was really glad that he was able to show it. And I'm really looking forward to everything going on in the future with him. So without further ado, let's get to the interview with Brett.
And I'm here with the successful Brett Beaton. I'm so glad for you to finally get that win.
Yes.
I know you've had many wins in the amateurs, but what does it feel like to finally get a win as a pro?
It feels really good. I mean, once my nerves settled down in there, I was able to see the shots and work my magic. I had a really good camp, 8 weeks long, and just... you know, put it all came together, but still lots to work on, still lots to do, and you know, I'm happy with my performance, you know, but I still got a lot of work to do.
And we kind of talked a little bit about, you know, that process that you had to go through leading up to this fight. I mean, it wasn't easy to come from a loss and to do what you did tonight. Can you talk a little bit about that, like? When you went and did your ring walk, were you still thinking about that? Did you have a clear mind? What were you thinking when you're walking into the ring tonight?
Honestly, I had a lot of confidence walking to the ring, but you know, coming off a loss, you always want to come back stronger and better. So there was a lot of pressure to this fight building up, and like I said, once my nerves settled down, I was able to handle business and accordingly, and I did what I needed to do, and I'm happy that I got a victory.
And you had the Pink Panther music in your walkout. Was there a little bit of symbolism?
They messed up, man. I wanted Bad Boys for Life by P. Diddy.
Okay, I thought there was like some type of mystery, some type of murder that was going to happen with the. So I was like, okay. So it was a Bad Boys for Life. And I also want to say a huge, you know, I thought it was awesome you were able to dedicate this fight to Pat Stay, a local legend.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about what Pat Stay meant to you?
Pat was a great guy, a great ambassador for Battle Rap and in Nova Scotia in general. He always motivated me every time I seen him. We weren't tight-knit friends or anything, but I always respected him. And we got Castillo Clayton.
How you doing?
Welcome to Good People, Bad Intentions.
I won.
Okay.
First round stoppage.
Okay.
First 30 seconds, got into an exchange. Yeah. Once my nerves settled, I handled business. And I got all my jab.
That's good.
Yeah,
good.
Thank
I was trying to, get here before that.
I know, that's okay.
But I was still stuck over there. And then after we got over here, we trying to find traffic. Too much traffic, oh my God.
I hear you, bro.
But I wanted to come and see you, man.
Thank you, bro.
But that's very good.
You'll see the video.
Very good.
Thank you.
So hopefully I'm here to see the next one.
100%, yes, bro. Thank
yes.
you.
Thanks for stopping in,
no
Castillo.
Problem. No
Thank
problem.
You. Appreciate you.
Castillo Clayton. My gosh. So last comment. I mean, you see it right now trying to do this interview. You got a lot of fans.
Yeah.
They're coming here. They want to watch you fight.
Yeah.
What does it feel like when you get all these people that are coming here to watch? Is it a good pressure? Is it a bad pressure?
You know what? I just soak up the moment, and I appreciate the love and the support. And it feels amazing. I can't lie. You know, always have a great turnout in my hometown, and I just want to continue to build my career and do my thing one fight at a time. That's all I can do. But I'd like to thank my supporters and everyone who showed up. Much love and respect.
Thank you so much, Brett, for your time.
Thank you.
Best of luck.
All love, brother.
Take care.
And that was Brett Beaton and a surprise guest, Custio Clayton. I wasn't expecting that during the interview. And, of course, he wanted to congratulate Brett. You know, Brett was saying that he's working on his jab with Custio. And, yeah, Custio, I had butterflies, I'll be honest, because Custio is somebody that, like, growing up, I heard from my grandpa, of all people, knew about him because of, you know, some of the articles that were being written about him and the fact that he was, you know, our best chance at Olympic gold. And as a pro, he's definitely had a great career so far. I know that the situation is a little complicated with the fact that his last fight with Gerard Ennis, aka Boots, didn't go the way that he expected, but it was really great to see him out and about in this fight card. Yeah, and I kind of undersold it, but Brett had so many people lined up trying to talk with him. I felt kind of bad. I was like, you know, I'm getting the kettle while it's hot, you know, but the emotions, the adrenaline, everything going on, I'm sure, like, I can't even think about what it would feel like with Brett, you know, and everything like that. He's headlined so many events already as an amateur, and this card was very big and sold out and everything like that. So, yeah, it was a great moment for Brett, and I'm looking forward for his future, certainly. And now to our next interview, the last one of the in-person interviews. I have Daniel Beaupre, and he fought against Rafael Torres. This fight I can't actually find on BoxRec, so I don't know if there's anything going on right now with that. But what was really weird about the fight is, you know, Daniel was dominating his opponent. He had knocked him down. Then his opponent's corner had thrown two towels in, stopped the fight. But it continued. And it was weird situation where the fighter still had fight in him, and it was very evident. And in fact, like, he was having some success against Daniel later on. But Daniel was able to eventually get the win. And I believe it was a TKO. You know, I had him on, obviously, as well. I mean, this was all kind of the follow-up of a couple of the podcasts that I'd done recently. And, of course, we talked about his story in his podcast. But one thing that he had mentioned in the podcast was kind of how he felt in his last fight. He didn't perform as well as he thought of because of the nerves. I felt like he performed a lot better tonight or that night. And so, without further ado, here's Daniel Beaupre.
And I'm here with the successful Daniel Beaupre. Congratulations, man. How did it feel to finally get another win in the column?
Felt great. Felt amazing. He was pretty tough. I gave him a lot of good shots, and I was surprised he was still standing. And one part they threw a towel, I thought it was finished then. Nope. And even when he fell the first time, I thought it was finished, but it wasn't. So it was great. It was a great feeling. It really was.
Was there two towels in that ring, like, that were thrown? And how did it feel? Like, were you kind of confused about if the fight was going to go or not?
Yeah, I was really confused, yeah, because seeing the towel, I knew it wasn't my corner. But then the ref wasn't reacting to it, and everybody was saying, yeah, he threw the towel, but the ref didn't care about it, so we kept going.
And we talked a little bit about, in our podcast, about how your last fight, you were kind of a little anxious as far as, like, you had that previous fight where you got TKO'd, no. Mm-hmm. And now it felt like you were a lot more comfortable in there. Did you feel that way?
Oh, yeah, I felt a lot more comfortable. I was less gun-shy. I was letting them loose, and I wasn't worried about getting hit. I got a lot of sparring for this fight, so I was ready for this one. I was used to getting hit, so it was no surprise to me. It was no surprise this time. I was ready.
And I know you said you weren't surprised, but one thing that surprised me as a spectator is it looked like your opponent was pretty well done. But then they had a little bit of, he had a little bit of success later on. Were you surprised by him being able to kind of push through and still have some fight in him, even after you thought the fight was over?
No, that's what I expected from him. The people from Mexico, all my respect to them, because they come in to fight. And like the last one, my last fight, he came to fight. And so I didn't expect any less from this guy, especially when we did the weigh-ins. He took out his Mexico flag. And it's the first time I forgot my flag at the weigh-in, but I took it out with me to the ring. And, yeah, I wasn't surprised by him because I expected that from him. Yeah, I expected it was – yeah, I expected that.
Awesome. Well, I'm really happy to hear that you got the win in the column. Wish you the best of luck and take care. Have a good rest of your night.
Hey, you too, brother. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that was Daniel Beaupre. And something I didn't mention in the interview, but I thought I would share was when I was recording the fight prior to him, Brett Beaton, who was fighting, I was standing by his wife and we were kind of talking and whatnot. And then, of course, this is just something I've noticed whenever I go to these boxing fights is if I ever see somebody's significant other while that person's fighting, the tension is a lot of times on them the most, and I really feel for them. And I was really glad to see that Daniel won, and I could see the happiness, the expression, everything coming from his wife's point of view. And so now coming up, I have Kyle McNeil, and he won by a majority decision against Pablo Polanco Fernandez. This fight went the 8 rounds. And what was interesting about this and interesting about a few fights now, if you've not noticed, there's a little bit of a trend in this fight card. His opponent had got a knockdown on him and early on. And, you know, when I was thinking about this fight, it could create a lot of tension because as Kyle was able to, you know, build up the rounds and have a high output, you always wonder to yourself in the eyes of the judges, you know, how will this go? And fortunately for Kyle, it went his way. He won the majority decision. And we're going to have him on next because we're going to talk about this whole event itself. I mean, we were supposed to speak, but Kyle's a really busy guy. Everybody wanted to talk to him after the fight. I totally understand that. So I was really happy to be able to talk to him after this event and get his views about everything from the event, from the fight, etc. So without further ado, here's Kyle McNeil. Hey, welcome back, Kyle. Hey, you had an amazing event, second event. How do you feel a couple days after that?
Good, man. Good. It was, you know, a lot of lessons were brought with the event. It was a sellout, which is always a good thing. It was a terrific venue. We had a good team, at the Lighthouse Art Center. You know, the Lighthouse team was very good. They were very helpful. You know, the cameras and the professional staff that they had on hand were very good. And like I said, there's always wrinkles that you need to iron out. But at the end of the day, you know, we got the job done, and definitely a lot of work having, you know, 20 different fighters to be responsible for on our second event. It was a big step up from the first event, you know, Fist of Fury at the Forum. So I have to say Against the Ropes was a success, and I'm very happy with the outcome. Of course, getting the win for myself, but then also the home team getting wins. It was all very good. So, you know, lessons learned and on to the next, man.
I'm glad you brought this up. Of course, congratulations on your fight, and I do want to get into detail there. But first going into it, that's one thing I felt about this whole entire card. It was that team aspect. I mean, Hustle, Believe, Achieve was there. You know, Brett Beaton, they're all representing. Yep. And there was this, I felt like there was this this team aspect going into a lot of these fights. You know, everybody knows each other. I mean, we had some debuts of some people that have been in the scene for quite a long time, you know. Yep. So like Brandon Osborne, of course, everybody was looking forward to him fighting for the first time as a pro.
Yeah.
And you delivered. I mean, I saw Custio Clayton. I got to shake hands with Ryan Ruzicki. I mean,
good.
You know, all the I even saw Tyson Cave in the around there. Yeah. I saw Kirk Johnson.
I actually got them to let him in. We were sold out. I was working on them at the door because we were turning people away for a while. So I said, well, you know, you got to let them in. So I got him and a crew in because, you know, at the end of the day, man, it's local supporting local, man. That's what this is about.
Want to say a huge thank you, of course. You featured kind of like one of the reels that we had done for one of the
so I
really appreciate, you know, I didn't expect it. I was like, wait, what's going on? Because you guys they were doing the sound test earlier on. I'm like, oh, somebody must be checking out my video or something like that. And I saw
main event. I asked them specifically play it. I liked it, you know. I feel like it it portrayed what our kind of stand is on what we want professional boxing events to be in Halifax. We want to bring classy, high caliber events, and these are professional events, right? There's nothing wrong with the amateur boxing events and the shows that we've seen. I love the boxing scene in Halifax, but what I'm bringing is what makes me, you know, proud, and I'm proud to stand by my company, and my company is bringing classy, high caliber boxing events, you know, Team Real Deal, man.
Yeah, and I just want to go into it because you obviously had your fight, and the thing about the fight was you had that knockdown at the beginning, and I don't think a lot of us expected that. Can you kind of talk from your perspective, like what was that was like? Were you hurt? And ultimately you got the win. So how were you able to push through?
Well, you know, a lot of people, they don't see the work that goes into one of these shows, like. You know, again, no excuses. I had a very game opponent who had over 200 plus amateur fights, and he had a lot of pro experience. He had 19 fights as a pro. So he had a few more pro fights than me, and he was a very seasoned fighter. So, you know, not taking anything from my opponent, you know, I tip my hat to him. We had a good war. But at the end of the day, I did that fight on 30% gas tank, call it what it is. I mean, I didn't get to sleep until probably close to 3 a.m. the night before the fight. I was up making sure that the co-main event, Reygosa, Brandon Brewer's opponent, was picked up from the airport. Not only that, but I had to wake up by 10 a.m. with my fiance and drive out of the woods because we live in Clam Harbor on a 200-year-old in a 200-year-old homestead on 100 acres, completely off-grid. So I got to drive out of the woods, drive all the way to Lower Sackville. But before going to Lower Sackville, I had to go and pick up Brandon Brewer's opponent, Reygosa, that we had already got from the airport to the B&B or to the hotel that night. So I had to pick him up, drive him all the way to Hubert's house, get him waiting, get his medical done, then drive him all the way back. This is on fight day, keep in mind. So the term rest is definitely an important thing to know as a fighter, and it's something that I've come to understand. Like I know when I'm resting enough and when I'm not. But because I have a very good reserve tank, even though I didn't sleep well, I was on the go 24/7 right up until before the fight, and I was doing like 10 different jobs. I felt it on fight night. I did. I definitely did. But at the end of the day, I've been doing this a long time, and I am who I say I am. So I got the job done regardless.
Yeah. I mean, you highlighted some things that I, in the back of my mind, I was curious about, because I know from the get-go there was some issues that you had to, as a promoter, work through. I mean, your original opponent had to be switched out, and I believe you know, when we're talking about the Brandon Osborne fight, I believe that there was an issue with his opponent's weight, and I had heard about that elsewhere. When these types of things start happening, I mean, you kind of answered it there, but it has an impact on you and your own preparation, because now all of a sudden this card that you have planned out, you have to really make it work. You know, do all the work that nobody gets to see.
Yeah, that's what we did, you know. That's what we had to do. You know, we had to just make whatever we had to do happen, you know. And at the end of the day, that's what we did. We made it happen. So I might have, you know, in a lot of ways, I sacrificed time I could have been resting, working, selling the tables, selling out the event. I mean, I was still selling tables the day of the fight. When I finally got everything done with the co-main event and I finally got everything finalized, here I am sitting on my phone, messaging people, calling people, you know, just filling this event. So I don't regret it, you know, but come fight time, I felt it. You know, I'm sitting in the corner. I'm, you know, and even before getting in the ring, man, I'm hanging out in the change room. I'm running all around the venue, making sure everybody's good at the concession stands, checking with the tables, making sure all my business and sponsors that came out, they're happy. I even got to creep a couple of the fights and catch a few rounds. You know, I was taking it in, and while I learned a lot, I definitely did feel it, man. There's no doubt about it. And so when I got caught early in the fight, he caught me with a good right hand in behind the ear. I was throwing a punch as he threw the punch, and I stepped over as he hit me. So I do feel a little bit like I slipped as I got hit, but it was a clean shot. So when they counted it, I kind of like shrugged my shoulders and I was like, man, I'm fine. I kind of stepped over there, man. And, but you know, it is what it is. It was counted and I was like, it's whatever. But I wasn't, to say I didn't feel it, I definitely felt it. It was a good shot. The guy was strong. Like I said, he was no slouch. He came ready and he was in shape. And he had just fought a few months ago too. He had come off a good win. So it's not like I brought down some guy who, you know, was a couch potato. You know, I brought a guy down who, you know, I brought a guy down to bring the dog out. And that's what happened. You know, I dug deep. And after that, I went out there and I dropped him. And they didn't call it a knockdown, but I put him down. Those were body shots. He got up and he's nodding his head and he's like, yeah, you know, and he's doing this one, you know, like thinking that he's going to get counted. And they just brushed the gloves off and he shrugs his shoulders. So I just went right back at him, right? Because I knew that was body work that put him down. And so I just stayed on him, man. And I used my aggression, my effective aggression, and my volume punching, my combinations to really push the pace, because he knew to outmaneuver. That's what he was really good at. He was staying just outside of my right hand and staying away. And a lot of people don't see the craftiness in there that goes into the experience. You know, he knew how to get up underneath my jab. He had a really good jab. He understood distancing pretty well. And I had to crowd him and kind of be a little bit like Bernard Hopkins in the sense that I had to try to bring the fight to that close range almost the whole fight to really just control the action. And that's what I did, man. I made it the fight that I needed to be to get the win.
And you had to, like, this is something I thought about after the fact, but is it not that you had to go, you went up weight again for this particular fight?
Like, I did. He was 156.
Okay. Because I was just looking at your box rec, and I believe your last fight was at 146, correct? Was that an increase of like 10 pounds?
That is an increase of 10 pounds, yeah.
And then I see even like with the Tyson Cave fight, to be fighting at 125. I mean, like, it's just crazy the amount of, you know, the weight difference between some of your fights. And you know, I remember we talked to the last fight. We're like, how do you feel at this weight, et cetera? You know, welterweight seemed to be your new home. And then you were talking about, you know, we want to take whatever opportunities possible, go for a world title, et cetera. Like, do you feel like one weight is better for you than other weights, or?
Yeah, I want to, like, do. How do you feel? I want to fight. I want to fight. Originally, like I said, after fighting at 146 back in July, my intention was to go to 140, but I jumped right back into another show. And again, it's hard to explain how much work truly goes into this. You know, I mean, me and my fiance Colleen, we did so much work building up to this, and I had a team behind me, sure, but at the end of the day, we both took on 10 plus jobs. You know what I mean? Like, we were just nonstop, and you know, there's, like I said, there's lessons to be learned. You know, delegate a bit more, get a little more help when it comes down to it. But listen, man, I can't knock it. At the end of the day, it's a sink or swim business. And, you know, I love it, man. It's my life. So, it really just brings out who I am, you know? And so on fight night, that's what that was. That was just me showing people who I am. I was tired before I ever got in the ring, and I didn't sleep well, and I had all the jobs and I was wearing all the hats, but you know what? I was there to do my job. I was there to do what I do best, and I love to fight. So I let it all hang out.
Yeah. And again, I just want to congratulate, or sorry, to compliment you, because thanks, I heard, man, people from the audience and me personally, when you're looking at this fight card, there was a lot of competitive fights, you know, these were some good fights to watch. I unfortunately, because I was out interviewing some of the fights, I wasn't able to see everybody fight. But somebody that I'm really interested in hearing about and the story of how you were able to get her on the card is Bree Howling. How were you able to get her? Because that was just out of nowhere, just a new fight that came Can you talk a little bit about the process on how that, that went with, I believe it's Parabellum Sports?
Probellum.
Probellum.
Yeah, so in kind of keeping with, like I said, what I feel I see for my company and what my team sees for my company is that, you know, I stand by who I am and what I am, you know, and I love helping others. I do. You know, my business in gym, Real Deal Fitness, one of my main businesses is, you know, what we're focused on is training youth athletes and men and women of all ages. And I've been working with youth sports teams. This is all over the last 12 plus years. So I've been building this business a long time. That's why I'm always in a gym, because I own and run a gym. But I grew up in the gym, so I love what I do. And as a result, I like to kind of bring that to my company now, putting on shows. So I don't want to be one of those promoters where there's so few of us here in Canada who doesn't want to help a fellow promoter or somebody else trying to put on shows. So, you know, I've been trying to help Dan Otter match up a couple shows for his show upcoming December 2nd, because I'm going to be ringside. I'm going to be enjoying that show. And, you know, I had Probellum get on my radar, and I talked to them and I said, well, hey, let's get Bree on. You know, she's a good fighter and she's undefeated and they're building her up. So let's get her on, and hopefully I can get her on the next show too. And I'm sure that they'll be open for that, because Alex, the president of Probellum, is a super nice guy and they were great to work with. She has a very awesome team, you know, so yeah.
I love hearing that cooperative aspect that you're trying to have with your promotion, because I mean, we've seen with other promotions, I mean, even going out of boxing, but like something like the UFC, they're kind of like really closed off. And then you'll see other promotions in boxing. They don't want to make, you know, PBC and maybe, another organization. They won't want to work together to make the fights that people want. And I just love how open you are to having these other promotions come and bring their fighters and test themselves on your platform. And like I said, I wasn't able to see the fight necessarily, but I was able to see probably the last two rounds. And Bree was just looking amazing. And everybody that I was
very
listening
technical.
To was like, this is a person. This is the next.
Yeah.
This is the next one.
She's very technical.
Yes, and I did some research. I mean, she was supposed to be one of the debut fights for Sky Nicholson, somebody that's really big in the Zone Sport promotion. And she also has trained with Alicia Baumgartner's camp, you know, one of the champs. So she's been around, and it's great that, you know, she's fighting on these cards, because we're really getting an ability to see world-class, you know, prospects.
Yeah, that's right. And we got a couple other surprises in hold for the next card. I'm very excited. You know, I got a few people on my radar. A couple people that want to come down from the U.S. One from Germany. She's a very talented fighter. And so, you know, fingers crossed we can make that happen, because we might have some nice people to add to my roster in the future. As of right now, I'm just like you said. I'm trying to do things different. Like I said, you know, I take full accountability, and that's what I said before this show. You know, regardless of how it worked out, I'm going to take full accountability, and so far, so good. You know, so hard work pays off, and you know what they say, sometimes you got to work smarter, not just harder. And so on this show, we worked hard. Next show, we work a little more smart, and it's all about learning and growing as we go.
Thank you so much, Kyle, for coming on. I know you're at the gym right now, but it really means a lot that we're able to kind of wrap things up, have a conversation about the event. Of course, keep up the great work. Just another comment. If you could tell Colleen, I know she's there in the background, tell her a huge thank you. She helped me out
she's
as far as finding some of the... yes, good job, Colleen. Thank you so much for helping me out as far as finding everything behind the scenes.
Yeah,
so,
no worries, man. I'm sorry I couldn't catch it right after the fight. You know, I had to do what I had to do, right? Do my running around and, you know, but the next event's going to be even bigger and better, man. We're constantly growing. It's a growing company, and I just want the shows to continue that trajectory, and I know it will with hard work and like I said, with the lessons going forward. So happy to have you on board and keep you as part of the you know, the process. And yeah, man, onward and upward.
Take her easy. Thank you.
All right, man. Thank you.
And that was Kyle McNeil. I'm so thankful to have him on to wrap everything up, to talk about the event, talk about his fight. Of course, he was very transparent about, you know, some of the shortcomings that had come up into this fight. The fact that he had to work a lot to make this fight card work. And, you know, it kind of goes back to something that me and Brandon Brewer had talked on our podcast about the importance of if you're actually promoting an event, that you have to try and delegate tasks. So that way it doesn't take away from your efforts as far as a fighter. And it kind of makes me think about something, a conversation I had with Frank Boxing Coach from Montreal on Instagram. We were talking about, you know, the fact that you only have X amount of energy per day to get things done. You know, some people have different levels of energy and everything like that. And, you know, you only get so much calories, only so much hours, etc. So you really got to be careful that, you know, if this is what you really want to do, you want to make sure that you're giving yourself enough time to sleep, you know, be fully rested, be 100%. And as Kyle said, this case, it wasn't the case, but we're all learning together, guys. So the fact that Kyle is able to overcome all of this and still get the victory, you know, he's able to go into his next card and learn more than what he had learned from his first card. I mean, every time we're getting better, that's the main thing. And this whole conversation actually leads to kind of the last thing that I want to talk about with the card. Which is my own personal experience as far as trying to cover events. This is the second time I've done it. Now with this mirrorless camera and a handheld microphone, I had a lot of stuff to carry around. And it was really hard. It was really hard for me, I'll be honest. You know, I felt it in my legs when I was trying to crouch down and take some video. I felt it in my arms when I was trying to make sure that the camera was steady. I'll be honest, some of the fights I was like, man, like, I just wish it wouldn't doesn't go the whole distance, because I didn't feel like I had the distance in my legs or my arms at the time. So it was really abundant or very clear to me that I hadn't been in the gym for a while, and I'm not the smallest guy ever. So me trying to get around the crowd of people that are there, trying to get into the locker room, set everything up. I mean, when I was trying to set things up, I was like thinking to myself, okay, there's so many things to think about when you have your own fancy camera. You know, I don't know if anybody's into videography, photography, etc. You'll see in the shots here that they're not really the best. You know, there's some underexposed, overexposed shots, etc. Not trying to get really boring with the details here. But yeah, like my brain was not able to process, you know, what the camera setting was. My brain was like, what should I be asking the fighter, you know? And I'm trying to set this up and everything like that. And it was a lot for me. And through that period of what must have been, 5 or 6 hours, I leave the venue and everything like that. Paid a lot of money for parking to go there. But I went and paid my parking ticket, everything. My brain was fried. I wanted to go home and sleep for like the next 2 days. Which means, in my opinion, that this was a success. Why? Because I'm putting myself out of my comfort zone, trying to improve. This is something that I want to do professionally, guys. I want to do this. Whether, I don't know. I have my doubts about whether this podcast will get to that point, but I certainly want to work for either another organization or something to cover boxing and mixed martial arts professionally. That's the goal right now, guys, in case you didn't know. So yeah, it was a lot of work. And I'm sure Kyle felt the same way with probably even more with regard to, you know, putting yourself out there fighting. I mean, I'm just taking video. I'm just asking questions. He's out there fighting, you know, fighting a fight. Plus, he's promoting. It's not apples to apples, but I just wanted to kind of reflect again on my experience now that he was able to reflect on his experience as a promoter. So that leads me to say that this is the all I got planned for the episode, guys. Very ambitious project, I feel, because I had put a lot of prep as far as trying to get the right equipment, doing my research with the equipment, talking to my teachers, etc. about this. Overall, I'm really happy with what came out, and I really love to hear from you guys about what you thought about the fights, what you thought about the coverage. Any suggestions that you see? Maybe I didn't do something correct 100%. I know I mispronounced a few names in this episode. So yeah, so if you want to send me a message, send a comment. And as always, guys, if you like this episode, I strongly recommend, and you're listening to it, I strongly recommend that you subscribe to the podcast. And that way, when a new episode comes out, you won't miss it. And yeah, leave a rating as well. Those things really help out. And if you're watching it on a platform like YouTube, you can like, comment, as well as share the video. And these all these things help the algorithm to get more people interested and involved in what we're doing here at Good People, Bad Intentions. And we're trying to help fighters. We're trying to remove the stigma around fighters by showing that they are real people and they have issues just like everybody else. But what do? They go and they fight through those issues. They go and put their life on the line for our entertainment, but also to find a higher purpose in life. So without further ado, guys, until next time, take care, whatever time you're listening to it. Peace.